Father, yea,
previously in Aethon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, as things were cleared away after the party, Pippa and Pamela had a chat, while Craig and David had a real heart-to-heart about the marriage problems facing Pippa and David.
David's voice was breaking.
Craig, how can I go on seeing your mother, loving her more and more, if I can't marry her?
Craig desperately wanted to help this man who had only entered his life that night, but who had made such a lasting impression. Already he wanted him as a dear friend, or better still, one of the family. Oh boy, he sympathised. And I thought I had problems. I'd no idea Mum had more than me. All I can say is don't throw away what you've got, David. You two look as though you belong together. I'll support you both, whatever you decide.
That sounds more like Pippa's father than her son. Where did you acquire all this wisdom?
Pamela had a lot to do with it. He told him how she had managed to persuade him to sing in the concert, which was the turning point for him. David started smiling when Craig got to the bit about a bruiser of a sergeant major doing the can-can in black frilly knickers. David roared with laughter at that, and Craig joined in as he visualised the happy memory. Their alcohol-fuelled laughter became so raucous, the other two came running through, Pippa placing her knuckles firmly on her hips in mock admonition said, "Will you look at these two, still boozing and laughing, and a tray full of glasses to be washed?" David was the first on his feet.
"Oh, forget about that, Pippa. Come and join us. I think there's enough sherry left for one last toast to the engaged couple."
The women happily agreed, and David and Pippa said in unison,
"To Craig and Pam."
Craig put his arm round his new fiancée and kissed her, something he had been too shy to do in front of Auntie Margaret. When she decided they had gazed into each other's eyes long enough, Pam turned round and said brightly,
"And when will we hear engagement news about you two?"
Followed by,
"Oh, have I said the wrong thing?"
As an avalanche of silence had enveloped them all. Pippa was embarrassed, and David was hoping he wouldn't have to tell the story at such an inappropriate moment. Like an echo of their deflated feelings, the air raid sirens began their ululating wail. As always, everyone looked up, as though the ceiling were transparent to the sky. "Well, that settles that. You can't go back to Irene's tonight, Pam. We don't know how long this raid might last. You'll have to stay here. You too, David. You can have Craig's room. Pam can have the spare room. And Craig can manage on the sofa." In the spare bedroom, Pam helped Pippa make up the bed with the utility sheets. Pippa flicked out the first one like a sail catching the wind, and Pam caught it on the other side of the bed. As they smoothed it into place, she asked,
"Did I put my foot in it through there? Is there a problem with you and David getting married?"
"Well, yes. In the first place, he hasn't asked me yet, and can't, while his wife is still alive. And it isn't that long since you left him. Well, 2 years, actually."
"Oh, God. I really did put my foot in it, didn't I?"
"You weren't to know."
"So, will he ask for a divorce?"
"We're Catholic. There's no divorce in our church."
"Can't think like that in wartime. None of us knows how much time we have.
That was exactly what Craig said. At that moment, the AK-AK guns boomed out and Craig ran into the room. Mum, I think we should go to the shelter. Pippa finished tucking in the sheets before answering. Oh, but it's so cramped in there. It's only meant for two. I know, it'll be a tight squeeze, but it's more sensible.
And a tight squeeze won't do us any harm.
Pam laughed with a wink to Craig. Okay, I'll make a flask of tea, and Craig, you get some blankets from the hall cupboard. And Pippa was gone. Four of them crowded into the Anderson shelter. It was made of corrugated iron, semi-sunken, igloo-shaped, and covered in the displaced earth where wisps of grass had already started growing. The two single beds were permanently ready for just such an occasion, and there was always crockery, biscuits, a small jar of sugar, a tin of condensed milk, and a few tins of food, in case there might be air raids that would go on all night and day. The foursome sat on the bunks, Craig and Pam on one side, facing Pippa and David on the other. They were sitting with their backs to the walls, using the pillows as cushions. Craig with his arm round Pam, while David and Pippa sat holding hands. In the hours that followed, no bombs were dropped within their hearing, so they relaxed and chatted like a family. "Pamela," Pippa began, "you told me so much about Craig when he was in hospital and we were corresponding, but you never told me anything about yourself, unless it was connected with Craig's treatment. Mind you, I feel a wee bit guilty that I never asked."
"Why should you? I was just his nurse then, and your thoughts were all about Craig's progress."
"That's what I mean. But now you're my future daughter-in-law." That word made Pam look up at Craig with a big grin.
"So, mother-in-law, what do you want to know?"
"Well, for a start, where are your parents? What are their names? Have you any siblings? If so, are they older or younger than you?"
"Did you say for a start? That's more like a whole book."
"Okay, why don't you start with your parents?"
"I'll get the sad bit over first. Mum died 3 years ago when I was 20.
"Oh-ho!" cried Craig. "That makes you a year older than me. You never told me that."
"You never asked me."
"What did she die of, Pamela?"
"Breast cancer. It went into her bones. She was only 48. The worst part of it was that I had just finished my first year in nursing, living in the nurses' home, so I hadn't seen Mum for months. I only got to her bedside in the nick of time."
She realised that Pippa was close to tears, so she pushed on.
"As for siblings, I used to have two brothers."
"Used to?" Craig questioned.
"I only have one now, Harry. He's 2 years older than me. He's in the Merchant Navy. Tom died of peritonitis when he was just 7 and I was 9.
Mention of the Merchant Navy brought back the memory of his rescue at sea, and Craig said, "I've the Merchant Navy to thank for my life."
"I know, you told me about it when you finally started talking. I did say I wondered if my brother was on board the ship that rescued you, but I don't think you took it in. You were having to concentrate so hard just to talk."
David wasn't sure Craig should be going back to less happy memories. After all, they were trying to stay in party mood for his sake. So now he asked,
"What about your father, Pam? Was he called up?"
"No, he's a doctor, so he's in a reserved occupation. I think that's why he suggested nursing when I wanted to become a professional pianist. And of course, Mum was a nurse. That's how they met. You'd be amazed how many doctors marry nurses."
"I know," Craig said. "I was quite worried about you and that Dr. Roberts. He was always calling you away when you were with me."
"That was pure coincidence. He only called for me when I was really needed, usually to help him in the theatre."
Pippa decided to change the subject. "You do play piano awfully well, Pam. How about a real old sing-song round the piano tomorrow night?" There's plenty of food left over from tonight, after all our worries about not having enough. We'll make it an immediate family-only party this time. Oh, with two exceptions, she smiled. Which two she meant was obvious. David and Pamela were now totally ensconced as family.
Thank you.